It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, crazy-ass Adam Spolane and the Dilf and Fightin' Byron have the latest for you. And the latest is, one, Clint Sterner and Tyler, they're out today. Be back next week. So stay tuned for that. And 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. Remember that. It is brought to you by the great people at Kirk Holmes. So stay with us. A lot happening. We'll get you ready for game two of this big series, especially for this show and for me. I'm looking, staring face paint down the barrel, and potentially blonde hair down the barrel too. If things continue to go the way they are, but we'll get you caught up on that. But first, I want to get to Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker, this is the first time we've heard from Kyle Tucker since he's been injured. He has been injured since June 3rd. He has had a chance to talk to media. He has elected not to. Today, we actually heard from him, and he initially addresses how he's feeling and where he is.
How you feeling?
I feel good. It's definitely coming along pretty quick now. So, I still got some, boxes to check before I get out there. Trying to do that as quick and fast as possible while also being smart with it. So, pretty happy with, how the last week and the last couple of days have gone. So, just going to try and build up to do as much as possible, especially every single day in terms of playing every single day. Just trying to get back into baseball shape and being able to go out there, not just for one game or two games, but for the rest of the season, trying to stay healthy.
All right, there he is. Seems to be feeling much better, I think, and I think you said this earlier, Spo. Him deciding to come out and speak is an action that may kind of jumpstart where he is right now. If he were in a tough spot or not close, I don't know if we'd hear from him this quick.
Yeah, he talked to us kind of informally yesterday after his workout in the outfield, and he sounded very positive then. And I do think that if it's not going well, and if you don't feel like you're close, you don't really want to talk about it. Like, you'll talk about it every now and then. He talked,
because he certainly hasn't been.
Yeah, I mean, he's done a little bit. He declined to talk to media. I think it was in Tampa Bay, maybe, the three games that they were in Tampa. But he did talk to the Chronicle during the White Sox series. So it's all about when you catch a guy sometimes is when you can talk to him. So it's not like he's been going with a full-out media blackout. But sometimes guys don't want to talk, especially when things aren't going great. But obviously, he's feeling confident. Do we want to play? He was asked when he thought that he might be able
we
to come back.
That. Yeah, he felt he may potentially be able to come back.
I mean, I can't, tell you what day I'm gonna, feel good and be good to go and get back in the game. I can't tell the future, but I'm definitely trying to get back as soon as possible. In terms of this series, I'm not gonna play this series. We'll look to potentially in Cincinnati or the homestand after that. It just kind of depends on kind of all those boxes you got to check leading up until that point.
You think it's lit? You can actually play in Cincinnati, like that's possible.
I mean, it's an option. I think that would probably be the earliest I could probably come back, but I'm not gonna leave anything off the table. But I just got to see how the next couple days go first before we kind of talk about that.
Sounds like
All right, so he said at the earliest Cincinnati. When do they play Cincinnati? Is that Monday?
That's Monday.
So that series is over 4 days. It's three games in 4 days. So that's Monday. They'd be off Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. They're in Cincinnati. And then, as he said, if not then the homestand, they come back to play the Diamondbacks.
Yes.
Yeah, they come back and play the Diamondbacks here at Minute Maid. So, like, he's giving, like, dates that we can see. That we can see potentially coming. So I think this is the best I've felt about Kyle Tucker. One, visually seeing him in the videos we've seen yesterday, and now hearing him talk, and we hear dates. This makes me believe the dates. Hearing him and matching up. Now somebody else has said it. All right, but hearing him and seeing him yesterday, it does make me feel like the light. Is coming. Delighted. We're close to the end of the tunnel here of him getting here.
And Tucker said he's running at 75%. And he had this other quote from his media session, which lasted 8 minutes long today. Quote, yeah, you could probably put me out there today and I'd do a decent job, but at the same time, I don't want to go out there for a game or two and get hurt. You have to be conscious of that and build up your running and your strength and conditioning side of things. One of the things that he talked about yesterday was how he's not really feeling pain in his leg. It's more of there's some soreness from just trying to build strength. And remember, this is a guy who really has not been able to do a whole lot on that right leg now for 3 months. I mean, he really did not start running up until, I guess, last week. So when you haven't been able to run for 3 months, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time just to build up your strength. And so I think that's what he's focused on more than anything. So the fact that he's not feeling pain is really important. The fact that now it's about
tightness.
The fact now that it's about building strength is what matters matters now. And that's why it feels like, you know, when he says next week, it feels like that's totally legitimate.
So many people keep texting him about feeling like he doesn't feel like he's happy or he's
it's
excited.
Just how he sounds.
Or he's, someone said he sounds like a tough hang. I mean, I over here then. He does kind of sound like a tough hang. I don't know that he is. I hear he's a really nice dude.
Yeah,
he does sound like he may be.
He's just a very dry personality. Loves hockey. Big Tampa Bay Lightning fan.
Really? I didn't know he was.
Season tickets to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
How about that? Good for him. But man, he's excited. He wants to get back. The other part with him is what is he going to look like when he does get back? That's and how long does it take? Because you hear, hey, Kyle Tucker's coming back. Hell yeah! Put him right there behind. We put it right there behind, I guess, Bregman now, because like they've switched out Alvarez and Bregman, but there's no Bregman in the lineup. We'll get to that tonight. But put him right there behind in front of Diaz, which you would think it would be, and he'll be himself. I don't know. We'll see how long it actually takes him to being the Kyle Tucker that was an MVP contender earlier this year before he got injured, and they're gonna need that guy. Clearly they've been able to get back to this point. But when they play in the postseason, you're playing against the best pitchers and good teams. Like you gotta have your best guy, and he is somebody clearly a guy that they would really need in that lineup. So
yeah, get to the postseason first. 4 games, not a big lead, especially if you lose a tiebreaker.
All right, Adam. We'll see if the Mariners will make that series September 23rd, I believe it is. We'll see if the Mariners are going to do something to make that series mean something.
They've got the Angels this weekend. Astros have the Royals, so obviously a clear advantage for the Mariners just when it comes to the schedule.
Could be. Yeah.
You're out on the Royals already?
No, I'm not saying it could be. I'm just saying that I'm not going to sit here and say that, hey, the Mariners are about to knock down the Angels.
Well, I'd rather play the Angels than I would play the Royals. So.
No, I hear you, but I'm just saying. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do at the plate, but that is the latest with Kyle Tucker as he seems to be getting closer and closer.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, this game tonight, obviously, they will be without Kyle Tucker, but they're also going to be without Alex Bregman in this game. Are you getting any word what this is? Is just a natural day
elbow
off?
Soreness? No, elbow soreness.
So elbow soreness.
Remember, he missed that that White Sox series with the elbow soreness. So that's kind of crept up again. In all honesty, I'm not surprised that he has played this stretch, really going back to Baltimore.
I'm surprised he's played as much third base as
he has. That's been the big thing, is that he's felt good enough to play third base. I'm curious to know, because remember, he got ejected pretty early in that game last night, if he would have been able to finish that game, or if this is something that he woke up with. But again, this is something that he's going to have to deal with, really, from now until the rest of the season. Joe Espada did not know when he talked to reporters at 4 o'clock if Bregman would be available off the bench today.
All right, I do want to get back to the Bregman thing, because that seems to be the talk in there. He is out of the lineup, elbow soreness. Altuve's leading off with Alvarez as the DH. Diaz is at third now, catching. Caratini is at first base. They've been getting some time over there for him. He's in the cleanup spot. Pena. And then Jason Hayward back in the lineup for second straight day. Gamel is in the lineup as well, with Myers checking in center field, and they're putting Dubon at third base, which makes sense too there. I feel like
hasn't gone great at third base when Bregman's not in there.
Huh?
Has not gone great at third base.
No, it hasn't. This is where sometimes you wonder about Joe. We're going to have a conversation here in a little bit about what could potentially get the Astros in trouble in the postseason. If that occurs in the postseason. We'll talk about that in a bit. But this is odd. Like, Dubon, to me, he screams to be one of the number one options to go and play third base when Bregman is out. And this is the first time he has in all that time that Bregman missed. And then where he DH'd or he was just completely out of the game. And so that's what we're looking at. Now, we get back to the Bregman thing with the elbow soreness. Like, he's just been playing third base consecutive days. Like, multiple days he's been playing there. And even with that, he hadn't got that many opportunities, but there's warming up. There's throwing every inning. He's been using that arm. And they played him at third so much. One, I'm thinking, what the hell did they try the first base stuff for? And two, they were playing him so much in so many days in a row. It was just like, oh, well, he's good. And now, clearly, he's having to miss time with elbow soreness.
Yeah, I don't know if – I think it's one of those things where they go to him. Do you feel good enough to play third base today? If he says yes, he's going to play third base. If he says no, he's not. And one of the things that he talked about last week was that sometimes, the pain sometimes – it doesn't get exasperated by swinging – throwing. It's just more of, I might sleep on it in a weird angle and wake up the next morning and it's sore. Like, this is a guy who's had elbow surgery before. So it's just like one of those weird situations that they're going to have to just kind of keep an eye on for the remainder of the season. And it's obviously tough on him. It's tough on the team, but they're in a tough spot with it.
I don't know, man. They got to monitor this.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Because, like, clearly, as we see here, this is important games. Mm-hmm. Clearly, his elbow soreness has got to a point where they don't even DH him. Right? Like, he's not even at the
plate. He hasn't been recently yet.
And today he's completely 100% off. Like, I mean, almost you'd say, all right, he's the DH, but hey, Alvarez, you go play left and we'll get him in so he doesn't have to throw, but he just swings. I'm just hoping it doesn't get to a point where it's so sore that it affects him at the plate, and I'm wondering, all right, you're sore, you can't throw, got that, but is this affecting your swing too today? Is that why you're out? I hope that's not the case, because if that is the case at all, I don't understand why he's just not the DH.
Yeah, I can't answer that, and I really think Espada goes into the day with multiple lineups, and basically he will talk to Bregman before and say, hey, how are you feeling today? Do you feel like you can do this? Do you feel like you can do that? And if he says yes, well, then he goes and plays third base. He says, yeah, you know what? I don't think I can throw, but I can hit. Well, then he's going to DH. And if it's, well, I don't think I can do anything, he's just going to sit. So they're in a very tough spot with this, because I don't think it's one of those things that's just going to get better with rest. I don't get to 100%.
I get the feels that if he were the DH every day and he didn't have to throw, that he wouldn't have as much elbow soreness.
But then as a team, they get put into a really tough spot. If they got to use a DH spot on him.
No, it sucks. It sucks, but they're also in a tough spot if he can't hit.
It's a tough spot. Tough spots all around right now.
Yeah. Like, right now, you'd rather, it sucks, and I don't, listen, there's nobody more concerned about those badass knees of Yordan Alvarez playing in the outfield all the time. Thank God Almighty he wasn't out there, because not only does he have bad knees, but Yordan sells out. He's going for it all, and he would have tried to run that ball down in that corner, and he may have run himself into a wall or something.
When he gets moving, it's hard to stop.
Because he thinks he can make every one of the plays. Nord knows it, but I mean, at some point, like, you got to have that cat in the lineup. So that's the latest there. No Bregman, and it's not just a regular day off. It is elbow soreness from the elbow that's been an issue for the last couple of weeks.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, last night there was a lot of college football as it kicks off, and this is a big weekend for it, baby. I know you're probably gambling your ass off. I know you. You got Thursday games. Tonight there are games. Obviously Saturday there's a standalone game, Florida State and LSU. Or I'm sorry, Florida State, USC and LSU coming up on Sunday. Monday there are games. They're taking advantage of this this one weekend that the NFL is off before they take over Sundays. But last night the Colorado Buffaloes were on primetime. That was probably the talk of yesterday. And they squeaked out a one-possession victory where a Hail Mary was thrown at the end. And actually, it was caught. They just were at the 10-yard line. But Shedeur Sanders threw for 445 yards. Travis Hunter was amazing. Had one of the best catches we'll see all year. He played 115 of the 116 snaps.
In altitude.
115 of the 116 available snaps. Travis Hunter played as they held off North Dakota. Woo! If the expectations that Colorado would be further along than they were last year, this first game, they may be, but this first game does not show that.
Yeah, even though North Dakota State's like a good team, they're a team that will probably compete for an FCS championship, but they don't have the talent level that Colorado is going to be facing in the Big 12 or even in these last two non-conference games with Nebraska and with Colorado State here in a couple of weeks. So the Colorado over-under was 5.5.
Took the under.
Absolutely, I took the under, and I would have felt a whole lot better about it if they'd have lost yesterday, but I feel pretty good about it even though they won yesterday the way that they looked. Even though, listen, they will probably have the best quarterback on the field every single game that they play, and they will probably have the best player on the field with Travis Hunter every single game, but the rest of that roster is not very good.
Yeah, and we'll see how that. The first game, it definitely looked bad. We'll see how it looks. The thing you were looking to see where the improvement you would hope would happen would be up front, their O-line, D-line, and I mean, Warren Sapp must have probably gone through two cans of a dip yesterday just dealing with that D-line. And then O-line, and that's the part that is really concerning if you are a supporter of Colorado, is those two groups did not look like there was a lot of improvement. And they struggled up front. They couldn't run the ball. I mean, he threw for 400 and something yards because they could not run it whatsoever. Now, Prime, after the game, said, we will be able to run the football. We'll see. You couldn't do it against North Dakota State. And that's a team you should have to do it against. Should be able to do it against. Before you get into the Big 12.
Only gets tougher from here on out.
Yeah, only does. If they get Nebraska next week, we'll see. So full slate of college football coming up this weekend. This right here, baby, this is hot off the charts. This conversation was kind of built right in the break. And it's about your Houston Texans, and it's about who they are. And I think this is an interesting conversation. We'll discuss that coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right. Hey, shout out to the Game Time app. They got me set right. I went to Game Time app. You know, the Royals are in town, and told the fam we're gonna go see the kids. Like, we're gonna go. Can we go see the Royals? Shout out. Use that Game Time app. Got me 5 good ones. We are the first row right behind the bullpen. We'll be out there Sunday, so we're gonna have us a nice little time out there. Nice little time out there. Got to get out there.
Kids gonna run the bases.
Probably not.
You're not going to stay?
No. Is that free? Is that so the kids just go down there?
Yeah.
I might, you know what? We might do that. Now, here's my thing, and we're building up to it. My son has gotten better with it, but he's definitely afraid of mascots.
I don't know if.
Does Orbit stay down there? Because
he might, but there's so many other kids down there that, like, Orbit's attention might be somewhere else.
It's not about Orbit's attention. He knows exactly where Orbit is. Like I said, he's gotten much better with it. And I think it's gotten to a point where he's fed into my younger son, who's 4, who I don't think normally would have an issue with it. Like, when you say run the bases, as soon as you said it, like, it brought back a memory. One time we were in Kansas City on a Sunday, run the bases, and Slugger... he was their mascot. It's a lion. He's standing at the bottom, like, welcoming the kids in. And my son, it was probably about 5 or 6 at the time, he looked down there. He was all gung-ho about running the bases. He looked down there. No. And then dropped down and grabbed onto the top row's seat and stayed and, like, would not let go. Screaming.
What's a lion? Lions are scary.
He wanted no parts of Slugger, and so we didn't run the bases.
Slugger's a lion, though, right?
He's a lion. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. There's eagles.
Worry about getting eaten.
Anything. It didn't matter. He's gotten better.
Friendly alien.
He's gotten better. So we're going to go to Disneyland. So he's getting prepared. Get himself prepared. Like, we had a breakthrough at Chuck E. Cheese. We had a breakthrough at Chuck E. Cheese.
Those are the scariest mascots there are.
Oh, well, luckily it's you ain't lying. They took all of them scary jokers out. Thank God Almighty. It's just Chuck. Like I remember they would be up in as the band. Oh, hell no. No, I never had a birthday party there. No, God no. They scared the hell out of me. Them bastards. I could not stand them. Scared the hell out of me. So I didn't mess with them.
I got to show you this video in the break. Somebody, you know the animatronics?
Yes, those were the things. Oh,
so somebody took the animatronics and programmed it to, like, perform Usher songs. And this is the funniest thing I have ever seen. No. I got to show this to you.
I don't need to see it burn.
It is absolutely hilarious.
No, but he took a picture. He took a picture with Chuck. So we were in a good spot. I said we're in a good spot here. We may see if he can walk past Orbit at this point. Because I'm telling you, boy, it was the first day of school once. And they had the kid. It was a kid. It was a fifth grader dressed up in like the eagle costume, and my man wasn't gonna walk past him. He wasn't gonna walk past him.
I'm gonna show you.
Like,
this
he video. Went. I don't want to see that. I don't like. I'm serious, man. Those animatronics. They still, like, I'd have nightmares about them.
Like, they mouth it out perfectly.
I can't.
Just look on YouTube, Chuck E. Cheese Usher.
Somebody said hating on the showbiz band. Now I could stand him, man. I could stand him, man. I dated a chick in high school that worked at Chuck E. Cheese, and I had to play it cool. But I always stayed on the other side of the. And I finally had to let her know, man. Those things.
You know they're not real, right?
I know. I just there's something about them, man. I feel like they're about to come alive. That's what they look like. They're about to do. It's come alive. Like, Chucky wasn't real in that movie.
Ron, did you watch that one movie? I think it's called Freddy's. It was like the little robots or whatever, but they look like the Chuck E. Cheese characters, but they come alive and they run after you.
No, that don't sound like something I watch. I don't watch scary stuff. I have nightmares.
I feel that. I didn't watch it, but my friend did. But
I can't do it, Judge. I have nightmares. I since I was a kid, I don't watch. The most scary movie that I think I've ever watched was Get Out. And that one wasn't as much scary, but when that spoiler alert here, when the grandpa came on a dead sprint, Like, I had to watch that during the day. But Final Destination, that's about it. But I ain't never, like, I ain't never, any of these scary movies you about to come up with, I've never seen them.
Horror movies, they aren't my thing either.
Nope, not doing it. I had a nightmare off a Power Rangers episode. One of the villains off the Power Rangers, I mean, that Joker was coming to get me in my dreams. Like, I'm like, I had to stop watching Power Rangers and VR Troopers for a little bit just because they were sliding in my dreams. So I can't do it.
You had a nightmare off a Power Rangers episode?
I did. I will be vulnerable and I will admit that to you. And it's not, and it stopped me away from, and maybe I've missed out on an amazing genre of movies, of horror films, but I'm out.
Are you out on Barney too?
No. I like
so Power Rangers.
Power Rangers. It was just, cool. It was the way that the villain was dressed up in that one, man. It just like it kept returning. Somebody texted scary ass show. Yes, and it's Ron. Yeah, I am. Can't do it, man. Never seen Nightmare on Elm Street. Mm-mm. No experience with
Halloween?
Jason.
Nope. No, I don't do them either. I'm nope. With Ron on this.
I only watch Michael Myers movies.
No, don't have
Pennywise
them.
Like it.
I What's mean, that? Saw? Nope.
Well, I've never seen Saw. Yeah. Scream?
Nope.
Friday the 13th?
Scream I'll do. Nope. I can't Friday, do it.
Nope. No, sir. Nope. Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Nope.
I know what you did last summer?
Nope. Don't have it. But I've seen it's complicated. Fantastic. Meryl Streep and Alec Baldwin. Steve Martin. Terrific. Boomerang. Great. Eddie Murphy. Halle Berry. I've seen them all. I've seen them. I ain't watching none of them. All right, we talked about this in the break, and I asked you this question, and I want the people listening as well, as you're making fun of me, and that's fine. Offensively, do you know what the Texans are? Like, do you know, like, the Texans' identity offensively? Do you have it? Do you have, like, if, like, I think right now, we talked about this, the Detroit Lions. I think instantly you know what their identity is. They want to run the football physically and do play action off of it and use St. Brown and areas and everything. But they want to physically, third down and four, they want to run it twice to get through. Chiefs, big plays, precision passing game, throw it around, get it all around. That's what they want to do. The Ravens. Lamar, physically, they want to run the football except for in the playoffs when they played the Chiefs and then they only ran it six times. But other than that, we saw it in the second half. The Ravens, in that playoff game, they said, we're going to go and beat us and get to the Ravens football, and they just ran it down the Texans' throat. What are the Texans? What's their identity right now?
So I know what it should be, but I don't know if they feel the same way.
That's because that's different.
Yes.
I don't know if they know what it is. As you said, I know what they're trying to make it. I don't know if they know what it is.
They should be a run first type team. They should be a pass first.
Hold on. Yeah. Let me get that.
It's the opposite of what I said during the break. No, they should be a pass first, air it out type offense and put the ball in the hands of who I think we both think is one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL, and let him make plays to this very deep pass catching core. Like, that's what they should be. And that's what they should have been last year. And they weren't. And they were, I think they were run heavy on early downs, like at the seventh highest rate in the entire NFL. And you look at the Colts game last year, the second Colts game last year, that Colts defense fit perfectly with what they wanted to do offensively, because that was a Colts defense that played nothing but zone, and CJ was awesome against zone last year, and they could pick that zone apart whenever they wanted to. And what was it? The first offensive play of the game was the deep pass to Nico Collins. What did the Texans do on early downs in that game? First 25 first and second down plays that the Texans had in that game last year in Indianapolis, 15 runs, 10 passes. That can't happen again. You cannot be 60% run on early downs with this team anymore. And so that, to me, especially because those runs got them 3 yards a carry. So first, the first 25 early down plays that they had in that game, 15 runs, it got them 25 yards. The 10 passes got them 120 yards.
Yeah, I think what they want to be is what the Niners are. And I think they want to be a balanced, which you understand, they want to be a balanced team that can run it and can pass it and can physically run it. And they do. I think that's what they yearn to be. They're not that. On third, if it is third and three, there are some teams like the Niners saying, all right, we'll run the football. The Lions, we'll run the football. They should put the hands in C.J. Stroud's, the ball in C.J. Stroud's hand. And I don't 100% know that that's what they would do. I don't know if they 100% have fully given in to what you just described, what they are. Because, yes, they got a lead against the Colts, and they tried to run it to victory. I think they should probably look closer to what the Chiefs are.
Yes.
Because Andy Reid gets a lead, and not all the time, but Andy Reid gets a lead. He's trying to pass it to victory. Like, he's trying to stretch it. Like, is what generally he is trying to do. Sean McVay, a similar way with his Rams teams, trying to make this lead bigger by passing the football. I get the sense that they want to be able to be balanced. And when they say balance, leading with the run.
Which is a huge mistake for the roster that they've built. The strength of this offense is the quarterback and the pass catchers. Even the running back. The running back is a better receiver than he is a runner.
Especially when you combine it with the offensive line that he's running behind.
Because I think their offensive linemen are better pass blockers than they are run blockers. So that first game, and again, it's Indianapolis too. And Indianapolis is going to play zone. And C.J. Stroud was the best quarterback in the entire NFL against zone last year. So if they're going to play zone again, then you need to be throwing the ball probably 65% of the time. First down, throw the ball. Second down, throw the ball. And if you even have a third down, throw the ball again. Like, take advantage of your strengths on offense, because if I'm the opposing defense, if I'm Gus Bradley in Indianapolis next Sunday, every time C.J. Stroud hands the ball off, that's a win for my defense. I will trust my front seven against that offensive line stopping the run game every single time. I want C.J. Stroud handing the ball off. I feel like if he does, I've won that play.
Continue rolling on as The Drive is live right here on Sports Radio 610. Those of you scoring at home, Chaz McCormick will be leading off in Sugar Land in center field.
Damn, Chaz. This is bleeding off.
Yeah, man. I mean, they got a who's who of, I mean, Trey Cabbage is batting second. Greg Kessinger is batting third at short. Pedro Leon's in left field. What a top four right there. Those guys have all had significant at-bats with the Houston Astros earlier this year.
Some of those guys are, remember, rosters expand. We haven't talked about this. Rosters expand on Sunday. Yeah. McCormick is not eligible to be brought up on Sunday because he was just sitting down, so he's got to wait 10 days. But, you know, they've got, I think they are leaning towards bringing up a catcher, giving them a third catcher.
Salazar, why not? Yeah.
I mean, Omar Narvaez is playing for them now. They'd have to add him to the 40-man, but, you know, that's a possibility. And then I think we're going to see the return of Rafael Montero on Sunday.
Yeah, I heard that kicked around. I mean, I don't know that I trust him, especially after you got Hector Neris to fill that spot. But, I mean, maybe there's an outside chance he could impress for a month to potentially give somebody to think about adding him to a playoff roster. But I don't know.
He's had good results over there. And I do think that they basically he didn't have to accept the assignment. He could have just taken the money and gone home.
Yep.
So I do think that that's a big reason why they will bring him up and see if he's got anything. You know, they wanted him to throw his slider more, see if he's worked on that pitch.
But yeah. Coming a couple of things here, but housekeeping things with the Astros. One, Kyle Tucker, today he spoke to the media and didn't basically said he could be back early as Monday's series in Cincinnati, but said also the homestand that series against the Diamondbacks after they're on the road, after they come back in Cincinnati, he could be back then. So he's anywhere from Monday till later in the week when they come back here to face the Diamondbacks. So it does appear that he is getting close, and he is saying he is getting close. But the big news today with the lineup, Alex Bregman, he was ejected yesterday, and that's why he left the game early. He is not in the game today and in the lineup today due to elbow soreness. Alex Bregman, elbow is sore. Joe Espada said Bregman came in and received treatment. It is unclear if he'll be available off the bench, according to The Athletic and Chandler Rome. So that is the latest there. Alex Bregman, obviously, at a point where he can't go right now today, and not even to DH. They apparently want to give him a full day off, and to maybe get that soreness down with that elbow. And you talked about it earlier. This is going to be something they're going to have to figure out and deal with. And to me, the closer they get to the postseason, if they make it, the closest that they get to the postseason, like, they've got to get a handle on it. It's a tough deal if, hey, man, every 3 or 4 days, like, hey, we're dealing with it. He's playing in the field. He's good. But every 3 or 4 days, yo, I need a day. That's going to be tougher when these games matter more down the stretch. So they've got to get a handle on, is he going to be a DH? Is he going to play third? Do we put him at first? They're going to have to get a handle and just stick with it, because it feels like this elbow has affected him to be able to swing and hit. And with him not playing, that's a concern.
It's going to be a daily thing. It's just going to be like one of those things where you see a lineup every day, you don't know if he's going to be in there. And I think that they are probably taking that same approach where Joe Espada leaves the ballpark every night and he's not sure if Alex Bregman will be good enough, will feel good enough to play the next day. And I just think they're going to have to check on it every day. It's a daily thing.
Yeah, we'll see. And today it is, he is out. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, as the fellows will have you as they get ready. Hey, we're turning the page next week. Monday is a game week, and they'll have everything you need to know coming up at 6 o'clock, right behind us. And as you know, we are live and local until 11 o'clock. I know Creighton is out. Is Luke back in it tonight? I'm not sure. I know he.
I think he is.
He did the show yesterday with Sean Bajani, Area 45. They've got you covered from 7 to 11. They'll have post game of the Astros and the Royals tonight, so stay tuned there with Area 45. All right, I'm curious with this. Someone texting, Ron, you've got to stop talking so low into the mic at the end of your sentences, my man. We can't hear you. I apologize. I'm a trailer.
I noticed that.
I'm a trailer. Well, you're next to me. You can hear me better. That's a fair criticism. Sorry, my man. I'll try to make sure I'm good all the way at the end, and I'd like to finish a little sexy with it. But I'm my man here, if you're listening, won't you jump in on this as well? Those of you on YouTube and Twitch too. The Royals are a contending, at least postseason contending team. The odds are they're probably going to be in the playoffs, even with the tough injury they suffered. But this is a playoff level team. And when you look at the Royals, you can clearly see what their flaw is. What is going to get them in trouble, what is most likely going to be the way that they are eliminated from the playoffs, is their bullpen. It was on full display yesterday. They struggle there. They have one of the best starting rotations in all of baseball. But that bullpen is what is going to sink them. What will it be for the Astros? What will be that thing that sinks the Astros? What is the fatal flaw where you say, you sit right here and you say to yourself, watch this team every day. I understand this team. I see this team. These are my boys. But the way that the Astros will have issues, the way that they will lose, the way that they will fall out will be for this reason. For the Royals, it's the bullpen. What do you think it is for the Astros? And you cover this team every day.
It's the defense. And I think that you've seen that on full display here the last week or so, where, you know, last night, the defense almost cost them that game. The defense cost them that game in Baltimore. They are 20th in defensive runs saved in all of baseball. Like, that's not good enough. And if you give good teams 2, 3, sometimes 4 extra outs, it's going to bite you in the end. And when they won the World Series 2 years ago, that was an elite defensive team. 2021, that was an elite defensive team. You can talk about how good they were offensively and how good the pitching was in 2019 when they won 108 games, the defense was outstanding that year. That has been what has set them apart from all the other really good teams in baseball, has been the defense. And the last couple of years, it has not been good enough. And for them to be 20th in defensive runs saved is something that cannot happen. And these are all like the two plays last night in the eighth inning, or the, excuse me, in the seventh inning. Jeremy Peña, that's a routine ground ball to a guy who won a Gold Glove 2 years ago as a rookie. The ball to Shea Whitcomb, you know, that's not the easiest play in the world, especially for a young third baseman, and you've got the runner at third base, you know, kind of blocking your view a little bit. But still, that is a play that should be made. Ben Gamel in left field, that's not an easy play, but it's a play that could have been made. Instead, they get three runs out of it. So for me, it's the defense. It has really hurt them here in the last month or so. Peña, five errors in the last 10 games. He's got 19.
What's up with that,
he's got 19 for the year. This is a guy who was, what did I say, 92nd? 98th percentile or something in outs above average for shortstops 2 years ago. He's 12th percentile now. Like he just has not been good enough. They need him specifically to be better. It's a staff with Framber Valdez, with Hunter Brown that can get you ground balls. Like you need your shortstop to be better than what he's been.
Text line coming in with their bats. Bats go cold, happens way too often, Ron. I think there is something with the bottom of the order, but now. And I agree with you. The defense thing, I mean, that's that they have got to get a handle on that. They if the Royals, which is unusual for them, didn't match it, and kind of theirs was a freakish thing because the pitcher tried to barehand the ball, they may have lost that game last night due to just kicking the ball all over. And I mean, you're just not going to win giving good teams extra at bat. I mean, you can get the White Sox and the A's all kinds of extra at bats, but good teams, that's not something to live on. I like the bats and the bottom of the order is something that I think is to talk about, but I think it's deeper. I don't think it's just primarily the bats and the bottom of the order. For me, it's Joe Espada. For me, it's Joe Espada from the standpoint of he is a tinkerer, and he is like, you don't know what the lineup's going to be. You know, he'll move people all around. He really is big on matchups and doing all of like, and some of that can work, but also some of that is gives you, I think, more rope to backfire because you're running so many guys and there's a lot of young guys that he's going to be doing this with. They've added some veterans, but a lot of young guys he's going to be doing this with. And like this stuff with Bregman, like that's a weird thing there with, and I don't think that's just a decision on him, but it's kind of a weird thing that he's been playing third base so much. And then all of a sudden we pop up and he can't go tonight because of his elbow is being sore. So how he handles that, and listen, during the regular season, as you know, the impact of the manager is not as big on the game. During the postseason, however, with bullpens and moves of pinch hits and things like that, it becomes a much bigger deal for managers. So he's unknown in these situations. To me, Joe Espada and how he's going to put lineups together, you know, the hunches and the numbers he's going to play with how many different parts he's going to have, that to me is something that I'm weary of.
Remember, you saw him manage, what, an inning in the ALCS last year after Dusty Baker was ejected. And listen, now, these weren't just moves that, you know, he pulled out of his, you know, rear. Like, these were things that they had discussed going into that series. But yeah, he still made those moves. And, you know, he still had the guts to make those moves. And those moves wound up working out in that
game. He's got the guts.
Yeah.
Oh, he gonna make them. Now, he'll make the moves. I'm just saying, like, There could be playoff games where he's making 5, 6, 7 moves. And I mean, not just the bullpen. Like, he's making all these moves, and you just, like, the thought is, will he push the right button more than he pushes the wrong one? We'll see. Because, I mean, they're going to play their however many guys they got.
And you'll have, you got a four-man bench right now. They'll probably have a 5, 6-man bench once you get to the playoffs. So yeah, he will certainly have more toys at his disposal.
Oh God, yeah, he likes his toys, doesn't he? All right, remember, coming up behind us again, Texans All Access. Texans All Access, as the fellas will get you started about your Texans as we get closer to the regular season. That's coming up behind us. And then after them, we're live and local, folks, until 11 o'clock as Area 45. Sean Bajani will hold it down coming up behind us. Hey, great job. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Enjoy your weekend, Adam. We appreciate you stopping by. Great job today. Great job as well, Byron, holding it down. Clint Tyler should be back next week as we continue things rolling right here on The Drive. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.